Hello, this is day five of the Money Magic Marathon, and today we get to deal with those characters, the stepsisters and the stepmother and Cinderella. And it's to look at questions of entitlement and their sense of entitlement that they should be served by others and have it easy, along with their jealousy of the natural beauty and talents of Cinderella. And while you know, all of us change makers and everything, we like to think that we're not at all like the stepsisters and the stepmother. In fact, we prefer to think of ourselves in light of, you know, like as a Cinderella or a fairy godmother. And yet, I think all of these in all of these aspects, and that's why fairy tales are so powerful, are in all of us. And so, I just wanted to look at how we allow jealousy of others to get in the way of shining our light, and the places where also where we refuse to do the work needed to succeed because of feelings that it should be easy. And if you know internet marketers, and you know, they really I have to say they push a lot of those buttons, you know, easy and easy way to make millions and not do any work, or you know, all those things that you read in the in your emails from promoters, that everything's going to be easy and it's going to be fun and easy to build your business and no effort and not much money except what you have to give to them. And well, that's simply not true. And we do fall prey to this because we really would like it to be simple and, you know, without work. And which is not to say that we have to work hard all the time, because we've dealt with that in other sessions, but there is a certain element of hard work. And it's interesting actually to examine where, and this is a question you might just write down, where do I work too hard? And then where don't I work hard enough, or where am I not prepared to put in the extra effort which will make the difference? And actually, that's a good question for me. I often work very hard on a project until the end, and then it seems like that extra effort, it's really hard to do. So, which is the extra effort that gets the results. So, yeah, so the others, so what we're going to be doing is focusing on matrix release of feelings of jealousy and entitlement, or fears about what others might do if we truly express our magnificence. And so we can be jealous of, actually, I think it's also interesting to note when you are jealous of others, like somebody has a success, you know, or let's say business-wise, something happens with them that's really good, and there's a part of you that may be congratulating and feeling really good for them, you know, especially if they're a friend of yours, and then you might notice that there's these little things like, why isn't it me, or whatever. And so that's where jealousy doesn't really help us that much. In fact, it's, yeah, instead we need to focus on what we need to do to have the success we need. And also because different people have different capacities, so it's not for us to have success in certain things. And it may be, you know, it's not for us to have success in other things, depending on our talents and, you know, our life path. So, and then there's the things, and we got into this a lot in the last money marathon that we had, where people, like, where you're going for something, and then you think, oh, my goodness, people are going to be jealous of me if I put myself out, or if I do this, or if I really look and shine my brilliance. And so we don't shine our light. We don't step out because we're afraid of the jealousy of others. And really, the only way to break this cycle is to get through your fears about getting out there and really expressing your gifts. And get through your fears of other people's jealousy, because inevitably people are going to be jealous. And also get over your own jealousy through clearing these beliefs, so that you can really celebrate the accomplishments of your friends and of others, and just see that as great, that somebody else is really being able to express themselves in the world. So we've got the Money Matrix Magic Spell number 5. And for this, I have put asking powerful questions, and how the questions we make can, how the questions we ask make all the difference in what we experience. And so, there are lots of things that people have developed around that. The whole coaching community, of course, is a lot of the techniques are based on powerful questions, which lead you to having different results than if you don't have those questions. And there's also, and there's many questions there, and I may write you an email about that later, but I'm wanting also to touch on some other techniques or that you may have or may not have heard of, and which are mentioned in my energy resources page, and you may want to look up. And one is with, I just talked yesterday, I think, about access consciousness, which has some great techniques. And they've got some really powerful questions, and they always say it's better to ask questions than to actually give the answers, because the questions open up things. And one thing that, one question that's really helpful, I found, is they have this question, which, how can it get even better than this? And that's a marvelous question. When anything really bad happens, instead of saying, oh, it's going to get worse, or how awful it is, just say, how can it get even better than this? Or how can it get better than this? And if something wonderful happens, instead of thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen now, or, you know, that nothing can get better than this, then say, how can it get even better than this is actually encouraging something better to happen. And actually, I've used that technique or those words in, when I've had a plane delay or something really annoying. And and often that, actually, I remember one time it was very annoying and I was very tired and I really didn't want it, you know, like a plane delay on the way of a long flight. But it happened, and so I was asking this question within myself to kind of keep my morale up. And in the end, I got gifted with a free night at a hotel, which I might not necessarily have got. And I also got a little nice little bag, you know, a sleepover bag. And then I also got a free flight for a future time, or discount on, I think it was $150, $190 discount on a flight in the future. So that was kind of neat. And all sorts of things can come out of asking those questions and just continually doing that, kind of making it a practice, so that you're not always, you're training your subconscious actually to expect that better things will come rather than worse things will come, which a lot of us, a lot of us are trained to think, oh, worse things are going to come or bad things are going to come, just because of all the things that we've discussed so far as a trauma and all that. So also, I have just want to say some questions that have helped me, which are questions that I don't know, I just came up with one day. And it's always good to think, you know, what are your powerful questions? And rather than just other people's. And one of them is that sometimes I have a whole lot of things, let's say that I want to do around the house in terms of making things better. And, you know, if you got a house here, there's always 1,000 things you could do and could spend huge amounts of money. And that's the same thing with a business. And so it's really important, unless you want to make your credit card skyrocket or other things happen, to actually make decisions, and this is at whatever level your budget is to make decisions about what is really the most helpful in this case. And what I ask, and this can apply not just for business, it can apply apply to your life, business, health, and relationships. And what I ask whenever I'm thinking of spending money on something or doing something which takes time is what of all of these would have the biggest impact, let's say, on my business or on my life? And then what of all these options would cost the least? And then what would take the least time? And then I decide, looking at my budget, based on the biggest impact and what would cost the least and take the least time, it makes choices a lot easier. Now, it may be something that is so important and has such impact that you want to take the most expensive option and the most time, but often you can actually get things that give you the great satisfaction and have a lot of impact and yet don't cost so much and don't take so much time either. So I just found those questions, when I use them myself, are really helpful. And help me make wise decisions. And it's often good if you're looking at your budget and all the things that you have is to kind of list the different areas so that you have balance in that. So when you make a big purchase of something, you might be impacting one of those other areas. So you want to look at that. So those are some ways you can use. Oh, there's one more that I wanted to mention, which is affirmations, which is a technique which basically, instead of making affirmations, which is like, I'm so brilliant, I'm so rich, I am whatever, you know, and you repeat these 1,000 times, and yet your brain's going to rebel because they may, in your subconscious, you may not believe it at all. And so what this technique involves is saying instead a question, like if you, and using wise questions, questions that make you feel better. So instead of saying in a circumstance, you know, let's say you've just done something that seems rather stupid, you know, and we all do those all the time. Then as opposed to saying, why am I so dumb at doing this, you might say, why am I so good at doing this? And then your brain starts searching for it and even can see in the error that you've made some possibility for, for it being better. So it's instead of saying an affirmation, I am making, so much money and whatever, and you might not believe it. Let's say I'm making $100,000 a year. And you might not believe that at all because it may be far from the case. So to prepare your subconscious for that, you would say instead, you might repeat to yourself often is, why am I so good at making $100,000 a year or something like that, or $50,000 or whatever you want. But it's just a way of working with the subconscious mind. And the subconscious really likes questions, and they're much more powerful for it. It can, if we ask a question of the brain, it's going to seek an answer. And if the question is a negative-based question, then we're going to find a lot of negative answers. Like, why am I so dumb? And then your brain's going to come up with 10,000 reasons why you're so dumb. Whereas if you say, why am I so brilliant? Your brain's going to have to search for reasons why you're so brilliant. So it's really a great way to reframe things and help change your subconscious mind, as well as the clearing, which I'm talking about. And these are just good habits to get into. And you might actually make a selection each day for each day to look at, a number of questions which you find powerful and in sync with what you're visioning for yourself. Okay, so I am going to now go to a little improvisation of the Jealous Sisters. I've done a few of these. Some of you may have heard them before. We'll see what comes out today. I haven't done the stepmother much. For some reason, I haven't felt called to that yet. So let's see who we were let's see what's here. I'm just going to take some water, and all of you can, I hope you've got water at your side. And also pen and pencil, and see what this brings up for you, this character. And one thing I should mention, and which people did in the last Money Marathon, and it was great, is that imagine yourself as one of these characters. And you might have a different, very different kind of stepsister or Cinderella or fairy godmother, which we'll do later. You may have a very different character than me, and that's fine, because that's good, because it will show you what your particular story is. So I'd really urge people to journal a bit about their own Cinderella or their own jealous sister, stepsister. Okay? So I'm going to see which of the jealous stepsisters I am. And, okay, I'm getting a name. I'm Miranda. I haven't had names for the stepsisters before. Okay, Miranda, you just say your bit. Well, hello. Oh, yes, you must love me because I'm just so lovable. Don't you love me? And I'm just so beautiful. Just look at me. You don't like me? Well, you better like me because I'm entitled to be liked and loved. In fact, I'm entitled to be adored. You should just adore me, whatever I do. Yes, I should be able to tell you to do whatever I want, and you should just adore me. Grovel at my feet. Adore me. Yes, it is my right to be adored. I should be adored. Well, I just have to think about what I want now. Now, I want all the most beautiful jewels and the most beautiful dresses because I just want to look absolutely gorgeous. And that Cinderella slave, she better sew well and she better do her work well because I need to look beautiful for the prince. And anyway, I am beautiful, and I'm sure the prince is just going to be overwhelmed by my beauty and my sparkling wit and my... I'm having a hard time thinking of something else, and I'm not too sure about the sparkling wit. But anyway, he'll be overwhelmed by my presence. I can't wait to see his face. I can't wait to see the faces of everybody in the palace at the ball. I'm just going to be so drop-dead gorgeous. Drop-dead gorgeous. Okay, that was an interesting character. Just a minute. So we're going to go on to Q&A mode. And anyway, I had fun with that one. And if anybody wants to say anything just on the themes that we're talking about, whether it be the powerful questions or the stepsisters, and whole feelings of jealousy, where you might feel jealous of others, or where you might feel that it's difficult for you to get out and shine your magnificence because you're afraid of this jealousy of others. So I'd love to have comments in some way or other just to get me going for the next part. So, thank you, Katrina. And for any others, it's you can press star 7 to talk, and I'll take you in line. So, Katrina, you've probably met some of these types.
Yes, and I, you know, it's really a theme. It's been a theme in my life, and I really both have been on the receiving end of it and also certainly have experienced plenty of it in myself as well. Mm. And I think that that's a big piece as to why I am not out there more.
Yeah.
Because I definitely had my adopted mother who was very, very, very jealous of me. And
okay.
It was very damaging. And she was very punishing and punitive and, you know, critical.
Yeah.
And also, I noticed in myself that I have a colleague who used to be a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Who created a beautiful line of organic makeup, and I was with her during the process of her creation and spent hours supporting her. Mm-hmm. And helping her and even coming up with the names for the products, and some mm-hmm. of them, some of my ideas were pretty genius, which she still uses today. And then mm-hmm. after she launched, she completely cut me out of her life, and she told me that she no longer wanted to be my friend because I didn't have enough money for her to be really successful. And it was very painful and very mean.
I can imagine.
And I have to walk by the store every day by my house and see her picture in the window with the cosmetics. And every time I do, I have a twinge of, you know, real, you know, deep-seated stuff. And so I feel that very strongly that it's unresolved. Like I have to... I want to let go of that.
Wonderful.
I do feel that that's such a big piece of my holding myself back.
Right.
And also it's like not having my own contribution acknowledged at all. Like she never, you know, never gave me any credit.
Right, which is horrible. You know, I'm getting this intuitive flash that it would be really good for you and maybe a little difficult for you to go into the character of the stepmother and see what she says and feel what she feels.
You know,
and I'm going to do the...
I'm not familiar. No, I don't. I never really read Cinderella. I kind of know the. I hate to admit that, but you know, I didn't have a lot of fairy tales as a kid, and so I don't know all the characters. You know, I kind of know the thing, so I don't really know what the stepmother. I imagine she was horrible. But
actually. You know what, Katrina? That's something that I think I probably should have sent. Thank you for actually saying that, because a lot of us may have heard it, and a lot of us may not have heard this fairy tale, you know, read to us many times. And so that's something where I'm going to send out a version, okay, so you can read it. But mostly it's just imagining what that mother, you know, just look at the story a little bit and imagining what that stepmother is feeling and saying. And it will have a lot of elements of your story, but I think it would just help you go a little further. And of course you can say no, and you don't, this is totally optional, but I have this feeling it might be really interesting. And don't try and make it like the story. I invent my own characters based on just the situation, and, you know, just let what come out. But thank you very much for telling me those things about the clearing. We'll definitely do some clearing on that. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
And how awful for a colleague to be supported and do all that and have all your brilliant ideas, and I know how brilliant you are, and then cut you off. And that's interesting because they cut you off as soon as they made it.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your work. So
yeah.
They obviously, I wonder if they're really scared that you would actually claim, make the claims, because they know that a lot of it's based on you. Okay, so I have a couple of other people there. Katrina, anything else?
No, thank you.
Yeah, and okay, so I have Emily and then I have Chris. So Emily, would you like to say something?
Yes, I can relate to your story, Katrina, in many different ways. I was cut off from someone who was a dance teacher who had helped me choreograph a dance, and another woman had invited me to create some dances for a performance she wanted to have. And so one of those pieces, this dance teacher had helped me put together, and that was the beginning of the end of me as a student with her, and then that happened with all of her students one by one. So it was kind of a process for her of stepping out of a role she'd been in, but I was the first one, and it was quite painful and upsetting. And I also learned from it because what she was most upset about was that her name didn't go on the poster as one of the choreographers. And I just had no concept of this as a cultural norm in arts, because I had all my dance stuff came from my own natural feelings and just creating it when I was a child. I had very few lessons before I was an adult, so I just didn't get the concept that, oh, I didn't acknowledge her, and that's a big faux pas in the arts industry. And it was tied into money, too, because this whole thing about the value of things, and if there's money and if there's not, and if there's not, we value them less, but yet sometimes they're so powerful whether or not there's money attached to them. So it brought up a lot of those ambivalent feelings about being a learner, a student with, and the dependency issues, and the jealousy that can happen when there's growth and moving on from one person, which is a part of life. And so that thing of moving on, letting go, but doing so in ways that are respectful, that's part of what I feel I need to come into deeper understanding of. And in this particular experience, I had a learning about grief because I'd had a very close attached, almost very young, childlike relationship with this teacher, and then it was done and gone, and it wasn't expressed directly to me about what it was. I heard about this through the other students, and I felt so horrible that she'd been so upset and offended by this. Mm. But in that time, what I learned was the difference between grief that was really old from things from my childhood and grief that was more recent. So I went into the grief of it intensely for a couple of weeks after the performance, which was a great success, and then it was done. It was like, okay, like it just didn't have the same effect. But it's kind of come up again as I'm thinking about moving out into the world and maybe being more visible. It's like some parts of me that haven't totally let go, it's coming up again. But I also get that there's a qualitative difference in the feeling between that and things that were grief from, you know, decades of lived adult life, and then you're grieving them that much longer afterwards. So
right.
That's something I'd like to share and let go of to another degree, the pain with the jealousy and with the learning and the lack of the naivety on my part and forgiving myself for what I didn't know in the situation would have been respectful to her as another artist.
Mm. Thank you. That's so rich, that experience, and yet, so painful, so we'll work on it. But the pain with the jealousy, and I love that thing about forgiving yourself for what you didn't know, because often in life we'll do things that we don't realize are wrong. Then it is very painful when we find out that it may have hurt somebody inadvertently or crossed some lines, and apologizing about it. Of course, with some people, they will not forgive. And so we just have to forgive ourselves, because we really can't necessarily we can't at all control other people's forgiveness of us. So, right. Well, thank you. And then, Emily, I'm going to move on to Chris now, unless you had some last thing that you wanted to put in there.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, so Chris, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I really identify with what Katrina and Emily said, and I just wanted to add one little nuance, which I think is also partially in Katrina's story in particular. Katie, when you said, when you were channeling Miranda and you said, "I can't wait to see their faces," that is when I had a moment and I realized that I don't have a lot of jealousy about what other people have, but I have a sense of entitlement about justice being served the people who I perceive have wronged me. And it was so strange to realize that that's the Miranda in me, that I want to see people's faces when some, you know, universal justice is brought down, which, of course, you know, it doesn't work that way, but it's in there. It's in my psyche that I'm entitled to justice. And so that really, really resonated for me. And so clearly what I'm holding on to is what the whole done me wrong set of experiences that I have lodged in my psyche.
And there's a, thank you for mentioning that. That just brought up something that I can think of it within my own thing, where I was wanted to see something, you know, somebody was hurting me quite a lot in my family, and I wanted to have something happen to me and see her face, and it not really to happen to her first, and it did, and she never had what I had, and she'd always wanted it, and I think I have some residual guilt about that. So I'm wondering, and maybe this is me projecting something, but is there, like, the justice served? Sometimes it can be great, but there can be an element when you really look at the person's life of it could be, there could be a meanness to it too.
Absolutely. That's the part that horrifies me. That's, to me, that's Miranda, because there is no justice. It's all in the past. It was never about me anyway. No matter how mean or cruel people have been to me in the past, it's never about me. It's always about what they're projecting forward. And so there is no justice for me except to let go.
Oh, great. And, just on this element, too, we're raising lots of questions, is that this is interesting. And it may have, I have, because I'm, being a feminist and really angry about how women have been put down and everything. And I think in certain circumstances, not just certain, you know, I could be quite mean to a man if he's put down a woman in some way. And I would feel totally, totally justified in that. And now that I think about it, what you've been raising, Chris, it's that that's not fair. I mean, that's not for me. You know, that is actually stupid, going down to that same level. And yet, and that could be a thing for a lot of us change makers. We think it's okay to kind of have revenge or do something mean against somebody because they've done it to others. And actually, that also brings up, I remember I was really impressed when there was the Nicaraguan Revolution, and this was years ago, and they were talking, and there were some people that they put in jail who were, you know, had been tortures and everything, and one of the leaders of the revolution was talking about how they had made an effort to be most kind and most different to how this person had been rather than try and have revenge on them. And I always remembered that, because to me that's really a sign of what one needs to do. And yeah. So anything else, Chris? You've raised a lot of thoughts with me around that. So it's going to be a really interesting.
What you just said reminded me of the Byron Katie setup of different types of business. My business, your business, God's business. And I'm constantly reminding myself that I'm in somebody else's business.
Yes, it's so hard not to be in somebody other's business. Right. And she's amazing. Many of you may know her, but if you don't, Byron Katie, and I'm blanking on, I have practically all of her books. I'm blanking on the names of the books right now. Chris, do you remember some? Or we'll send it out later. Do you remember any of her book titles?
Yeah, I've only read one of her books.
And which one was that?
Exactly. I'm blanking on which one I read as well. But
okay, maybe we'll come up with it.
She's the originator of the work, which is
the four questions.
And oh my gosh, that's so funny that I'm blanking on all of her books as well. But I do her work in my coaching. So I focus constantly on her worksheets rather than her books because I'm doing it with clients. So,
Loving
what is. Loving what is.
That's it. Then she's got a whole load more. Thank you. And this is actually very helpful for others. And that's great to know that you focus on her work because it's so, so powerful. And she has powerful questions, of course. And her four questions are very powerful. And she's really worth checking out. Somebody that actually it's one of those things that could be very much part of everybody's the questions in her method can really help your life, especially if you apply it in a practical way, like every day. Okay, so let me, anything else, Chris, or we'll go to some clearings?
No, thank you.
And I'm just looking, thank you, Chris, this is great. And I'm just looking on the web page, and I'm just going to refresh it just to check that the people there aren't, just from Dina, that she, this is from earlier, I think, love the questions, beautiful way to reframe negative feelings into a blessing. Oh, thank you. So let me see. I'm going to go back to anybody else, anything before we go into the clearing. I think we got a lot of stuff there, but I'll just ask again, and if not, I'm going to go ahead. So press 7 if you've got something related to this. Okay, so we'll go into the clearings, and I'll probably start out with Katrina and what Katrina said, and then move to some of the other things. And if I forget something, then just remind me afterwards, because I just, there's a lot of stuff there. So, let me see, I'm just trying to think of where I go with Katrina's stuff. Okay, well, I'm just going to start with her mother, who was like a jealous stepmother, not very damaging and punitive, as you said, and critical. And so even though my mother was really damaging and critical and punitive and jealous of me, I deeply love and respect myself. Even though my mother was really jealous and punitive and didn't respect me and was jealous of me, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though my mother was terribly, terribly critical and really damaging and just criticized the hell out of me because she was jealous, I deeply love and accept myself. She was so jealous. She was so jealous. Why couldn't she just accept who I was? Why couldn't she just love who I was? Why was she so threatened by me, so threatened by me, so threatened by me, so threatened by me? Must have been pretty powerful, magnificent being. Must have been a pretty powerful, magnificent being for her to be so threatened, for her to be so threatened, for her to feel so threatened. She felt so small. She felt so small herself, so inadequate herself, so inadequate herself. But she could never admit that to me. She could not admit it to me. She could not admit it even to herself, what was happening with me. She didn't know what she was taking on when she adopted me. She had no idea. No idea. Perhaps she only could have known before we were living. Before we were living, she might have known and contracted to have me, but she certainly forgot all about that in this life and really, really was jealous. Really, really was jealous. Was jealous, was jealous, was jealous. I'm so afraid of jealousy because it's impacted me all the time. It's impacting me all the time. People are very powerful who are jealous. They're very powerful. They can knock you away. They can knock you off. They can completely destroy you. They can completely destroy you. Why should I peek out of my hiding if jealous people couldn't destroy me? And look at what's happened so far with jealous people. That woman who I helped so much, who I helped so much, who I helped so much, and look at how she treated me like dirt. She made money because of me, and then she treated me like dirt because I didn't have the money. She didn't give me the recognition. She didn't do it for me. She didn't do it for me. She didn't do it for me. She took the goods and ran. She took the goods and ran. She took all my goods and ran. Only she didn't, because I'm still here, and I'm brilliant, much more brilliant than her. I can keep inventing and reinventing and reinventing and reinventing. And so I'm an innovator. I'm one of these people who doesn't just stay with one line of self-care products, of beauty products. I'm not like that. I don't just stay with what works. I'm constantly looking for something better. I'm constantly looking for something better. And so that way, if I do get into this whole business, and it may not be by making products, but if I get into my business and I do what I'm capable of, I'm capable of being unstoppable. I'm capable of such amazing things because I got the mind and I got the urge to just keep innovating and innovating and innovating and innovating. And I'm a pioneer. I'm a revolutionary. I'm a pioneer. I'm a revolutionary. And not everybody's going to like me. In fact, some people are going to try and destroy me. But, actually, they won't. Because I've had these beautiful experiences with my ugly stepmother and my ugly stepsister friend. And so now I know how to protect myself. I know how to protect myself, and nobody's going to destroy me because I'm very strong, and I'm very intelligent, and I'm very strong, and I'm very intelligent. Okay, Katrina, I think that kind of covered some. I'll just open it up to see if there's anything coming from you, and then I'm going to go into what some of the other people brought up. So, Katrina?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wow.
I'm breathless, my dear.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. It stirred a lot of energy.
Okay, so we'll just, anything that further to tweak there? And if not, don't worry about it. I'll just go on to the next. But if there was some element there, then
there's thing that there's a subtlety that just stands out is I feel that there was something about, you know, there will be people who will hate me when I really stand out, and I do have a little element of fear about that. But
okay.
I think that, you know, that's just a small piece.
Okay, on a level of 1 to 10, how big does that feel right now? And we'll see if we can bring it down. Because this will be helpful for everybody.
Like it's a 7 or an 8, actually.
Oh, so that's not so small. So
no,
we'll work. Yeah, so that's something that, you know, we can clear part of today and maybe all of. And if we don't, I would keep noticing that and try and bring it down to a 0.
Okay.
Because your subconscious does not want to be hated,
no.
Even though it will happen. So, and if there's emotional charge there, that will be hard. Okay, so we're just going to go on that, and then we're going to go on some of the other stuff. Okay, so even though some people will hate me when I stand up and show my gifts and do my thing in the world, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though some people are going to hate me when I stand up and shine my gifts, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though some people are going to hate me when I stand up and show my gifts and am richer than them, I deeply love and accept myself. Some people are going to hate me. Some people are going to hate me. They're going to hate me so much, especially when I make lots of money. They are just going to be green with envy, green with envy, green with envy, green with envy, especially when I make lots of money. And lots of money. It seems that they're going to be mostly jealous when I make lots of money, because it's really safe when I don't make lots of money. Then they can feel sorry for me and not respect me. But if I make lots of money, they're going to be green with envy. They're not going to like me. Well, they never did like me that much. So those people can just go deal with it. Deal with it. And if they don't deal with it, well, that's because they'll never make what they need to do in the world. So I'm not going to worry about it. 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 And I'm going to have lots of money. I'm going to have lots of green money. Even might turn people green, but I'm going to have lots of money. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm safe now. 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 Okay, so I'm going to go on, and hopefully that got a little bit of the charge out, and I'm going to take on some of the stuff that Emily brought up. And okay, even though I feel like I did something terribly wrong by not acknowledging my dance teacher, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel now that I did something terribly wrong, even though I had no idea about it, in not giving credit to my dance teacher, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I did something terribly wrong when I didn't credit my dance teacher, I deeply love and accept myself. I've been running scared for years and years. I've been running scared instead of dancing, and all I wanted to do was dance my heart out. And I loved my dance teacher. I loved her. I loved her, and I loved her, and I loved her, and I loved her so much. And then she rejected me because I did something I had no idea would spark that in her. I was so innocent. I was so innocent. And then I was cut out of her world. She was so jealous of what I did, and I don't even know why she was jealous. I was just dancing my heart out. And somehow she couldn't accept that. And somehow she couldn't dance her heart out. Somehow she hadn't allowed herself to dance her heart out. She had got her heart embittered and closed, embittered and closed. It was bitter and closed, and she never did what she really could do. And she cut off those who loved her most, including me, including me, including me. And yes, I'm going to forgive you, dance teacher. I'm going to forgive you for all the harm and all the things you did to your students. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to forgive myself. Mostly, I'm going to forgive myself. I'm going to give myself my dance back. I'm going to take my dance back. I'm going to dance my way out of the room. I'm going to dance my heart out, my heart out. My heart is coming out. My heart is coming out into my work, and I need it. I need my heart in my work, and I can dance, and I can work my heart out, and I can have my heart out there again. I can have my heart out there. But I just know some of the protocol. I know some of the things one should do. And it's okay if I make other mistakes. It's okay if I'm innocent again. It's okay if I make other mistakes and that I learn from my mistakes. And anybody who can't accept that people might not know what they're doing, might not realize what they're doing, well, that's their deal. That's their deal. It's not my deal. And I'm forgiving myself. I'm forgiving myself. I'm forgiving myself. Okay, so that's, I'll just open up for a moment for Emily to see if there's anything else we can get here, and then I'll move on to what Chris brought up, which is, you know, so much stuff there, too. Emily, anything you want to say before we go on?
That was very powerful.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see you dance. You know, I never knew that you danced, Emily.
That's one of my biggest passions.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly have hidden that.
I don't take it out much because it's too scary to be seen. So that was really big for me.
Mm,
my massage
right.
is an extension of my dance. How I work with people with my hands, it's like my whole body is connected to their whole body. And I love being on a stage sharing my whole body just as much as being close with one person. I love both.
Wow. Well, dance your way out of that one. So that's beautiful. And, thank you so much for sharing that today. And whatever you need to, hopefully, to clear it, you know the issue and the tools, and hopefully that's done a big part today. So I'm going to go on to... let me see. We're going to go on to what Chris raised and some of the stuff it raised for me also, which are big issues here. Now, okay, so, and Chris was saying that he can't wait to see their faces had echoed with her. And this sense of entitlement about justice served, and you know this. So I'm going to do that, and we'll see where we go with that. That's a good one, good meaty one. So even though I feel like I'm entitled to my anger, and I can be as mean as possible, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I'm entitled to my anger and to my meanness and to having justice served in the way I think it should be served, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel I'm entitled to my anger and I'm entitled to do whatever I need to punish those people, I deeply love and accept myself. I just want to see the look on their faces. I want to see the look on their faces. I want to see the look on their faces. They did so much harm. They're going to learn what it feels like to be harmed. They're going to learn what it feels like to be harmed. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. Or am I? Is that my way? Is that my way? And does it show them? Do they not know about meanness? Do they not know about all these things? Or do they know too much and have they lost hope? Do they know too much? Have they encountered so much meanness, so much horror, so much trauma that they just keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it? And who am I to blame them? Who am I to blame them for just repeating things that are so hard to break from? I find it so hard to break from my own patterns. Why am I asking them to break from theirs? Yes, they have harmed me. Yes, they've been really mean to me. And yes, there's a part of me that would like to punish me and punish them. Oh, but am I punishing myself while I'm punishing them? Is my hope for vengeance punishing me all the time, punishing me by keeping that kind of energy inside me, damning that energy inside me? Is that punishing me? So let's let go of the punishment. Let's let go of the meanness. Let's let go of the so-called entitlement to justice. Let the universe serve its own justice, and let the justice be kind. Let the justice bring in more kindness into this world, more loving. Let that person die in love rather than in hatred. Let that person be bathed in love, and so that maybe that big shell, that big hardness that they have around them starts dissolving. Let me send that out instead of my hate and my meanness and all my justified rage. Yes, there is justified anger, and at the same time, justified anger can bring about changes, and that's all great. And by forgiving, it doesn't mean I don't do anything about things that are unjust. It just means I do them with a different energy. I do them with a different energy, an energy of love, not anger. And as my anger dissolves, I get bathed in love. I get bathed in love, and I am so much more powerful. I am so much more able to shine my light as I let go of all those feelings of I want to see their faces. I'm going to shine my light, and I just want to see faces that are delighted, not faces that are bitter and sad because they can't do it themselves. I want to see people who are delighted because they see by me being who I am and shining in the world that they too can be who they are. They too can be who they are. They too can be who they are. All right there. So I think that that was a good one for me as well. And and hopefully Chris, that helped you a bit. Chris, did anything you want to say about that before we move on?
That was great, Katie. And there's just one thing I wanted to say briefly about what Katrina had brought up about being hated. I have that too. Not so much with approval, but with just being afraid of being out there in the world. And for what it's worth, I carry this belief that one of my mentors shared with me, which is, I think she calls it the one-third belief. And this is how it goes. One-third of people out there, no matter what you do, will hate you. One-third of people, no matter what you do, will be absolutely neutral. And one-third of people will be your people who love you and adore you. And you only have to be concerned with the people who will love and adore you no matter what.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's really beautiful. So I'm going to open up again to everybody, just for the, and then we're going to do the healing codes, and just to bring a, let go of some additional parts of what was brought up today. And also we will be going on into in future days more things about visibility, and that will link very well into the themes of today, because people hating you is a part of visibility. So thanks so much, Chris. And I'm going to open up the call, and see if there's any last stuff before we do the healing coats and kind of get blissed out by the healing coats. at least that always has that effect on me. So anybody want to say anything?
I just thought that last clearing with Chris was also really good, too.
Thank you.
For me.
Well.
there is just the desire, you know, there's that when you're really feeling, you know, betrayed and, you know, insulted at, or whatever, you just want to place that feeling upon someone else through, you know, thoughts of revenge. But I also want to say something about that a therapist of mine years ago told me, and she said it's extremely healthy to entertain thoughts of revenge. It's a very healthy thing to do. Now, acting on them is a totally different thing, but thinking thoughts of revenge are actually a healthy part of the healing process.
So yeah, because if you repress everything and think you're just, you know, then that's not healthy. Yeah.
So just if you feel bad about feeling those thoughts, it's not, you know, it's not a, you're not a bad person if you think them. You
yes, that's natural. Well, that's great to say. And I would just take it a step further and, you know, like it's like, for example, it's very healthy. The first stage of getting out of an unjust situation is anger. Well, it might be depression. Often we push down all our feelings, and then there'll be anger and revenge and all those feelings that come up there. That's, you know, as the therapist said, that's really healthy to feel that. And then to get to the next stage, we need to know, and what's so great about knowing those thoughts and actually even feeling them to the, you know, going and writing them down and thinking about them. And that can be really, really helpful. In fact, you know, we were talking about Byron Katie earlier in the call. And she, part of her process is putting down all the things that you would like to do, all the things that you blame, you know, it's sort of blame your neighbor, or there's another word for it that she uses. But you write down all the things that, you know, you're enraged about or, you know, feel very upset about a person, and you get that all down. And then you do, well, her process is four questions to rid yourself of, to let go of that. But then there are the other healing modalities which can allow you to do it as well. But the first thing, as you say, is actually having those, recognizing those feelings and articulating them. And, you know, we talked about the journaling, and that's really also a very helpful place to put all that stuff. And so you can see what's really there. So thank you, Katrina. Great.
Thank you.
And anybody else, or we'll go to the final clearing. Shelley, was that, I thought I might see, I saw a little thing there with you, but.
No, I'm really appreciating the honesty and the openness of everyone. And yeah, the healings have been amazing. And just piggybacking on whatever's coming up. I thank you.
Thank you. Oh, wonderful. So, okay, so we're going to go into the healing codes, and I'm just thinking of a positive or a truth-focused statement, as Dr. Lloyd talks about. Gosh, I'm blanking here. It'll come in a moment, though. I'm just trying to think of something that will kind of encompass the different issues of feeling, letting go of the revenge and letting go of the fear. Oh, and there was the entitlement stuff. So let's see what we can do. Okay. I am learning to forgive those who have hurt me. And this is interesting that there's the word learning. You might just want to put, I am forgiving those who have hurt me and letting go of revenge, or just I'm learning to forgive those who have hurt me, or that's all I can come up with. So if you come up with something better for yourself or just want to relax, just do it, and it's fine. And something else might come. I tend, Dr. Lloyd doesn't talk when he's doing the healing codes. In fact, it's usually silence. I, of course, am breaking the rules because when I'm clearing this with people, I do say things. And I also, sometimes I have done, and one of my clients is a sound healer, combined sound with the healing codes. So I say, break the rules and do it the way you want. You can do it exactly like Dr. Lloyd says, and it'll be extremely powerful. And or you can add some of what you do and things that you find effective. I found another client of mine would visualize colors as she was doing the healing code. So that worked really well for her. So there we go. So I'm going to start with the healing prayer that Dr. Lloyd has. And I pray requests that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to jealousy and entitlement, and both me being jealous and feeling entitled, and me feeling angry against those who have been jealous of me and who have hurt me, and also and any of those related issues about coming into my power and my fear of coming into my power because I will elicit hatred from others, and the issues of where I have hated others because they have, or felt jealous of others because they have got something that I haven't been able to get yet in my life. So will all those issues be opened, found, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of God. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay, and so focusing on the truth that I'm learning to forgive those who have hurt me, or whatever other statement helps you in this case. So we're going to cup the hands and focus the energy in between the eyebrows. Okay, then we're going to go down to the throat area. And, you know, during the healing codes, just you can focus on your breath and just breathing more deeply. And you're focusing the energy of the hands towards the throat. I'm forgiving those who have hated me and have tried to destroy me. They knew not what they were doing. Then the side of the jaw is often focusing the energy from left hand on the left side and the right hand towards the right side of the jaw, and knowing that feelings of revenge are natural and that it's okay for you to be thinking them. But it's not okay now that you know ways to release them to stay there. So the important thing is that you're giving rein and you're letting your revenge fantasies just have fun and say all that needs to be said. And you're just making sure that all of that is being said, that you're not suppressing it or repressing it. And then you're giving yourself the chance to let it go. But have some magnificent revenge fantasies first. Take advantage of that energy. And then go to the side of the head. The side of the temples, and your left hand focusing the energy on the left temple and the right hand focusing the energy on the right temple. Letting go of all the revenge you feel. Letting go of all the fear about shining yourself in the world. All the fear of hatred. Fear of love is far more powerful in the end. The power of love is far more powerful and protects you. And protects you. Love protects you. Love protects you. Love protects you. Okay, then we're going to put our, again, focus the energy in between the eyebrows. And then go down to the throat, seat of expression. And let go of all the sorrow and the anger and all the grief. Knowing that these people who have hurt you and who you would like to show things and actually taught you things. They taught you things that you wouldn't know if you hadn't have been through the experience. So you can let them go. They may not let you go, but you can let them go, and that's what's important. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Go gently into the night. Let them go gently into the night. Okay, then corner of the jaws. Dancing into your future, dancing into your future. Dance, dance. Let the dance of anger become a dance of joy. Let a dance of anger become a dance of joy. And then the side of the temples again. What amazing energy can be liberated from all this jealousy and hate. What amazing energy would be available to the world if all the jealousy and hate and righteous anger could be channeled into everybody shining their light. Okay, putting our hands on top of our heads and letting them lay there for a minute or two. And when you feel ready, you can just drop your hands to the side, to your sides, and look out and see something beautiful in your environment and just appreciate it. And I'm looking at this beautiful candle holder that my sister gave me, which is kind of turquoise blue, and it has these petals and made out of some shells. And I have that on the place where I have a number of lovely objects and beautiful little painting too that somebody gave me. So, well, that was quite the clearing day. I'm going to open up for a moment for people to say any last words and to say goodbye. by, and I'm actually going to check the Q&A just to see if there's anything that I missed there. But it looks like, yeah, everything's fine there. And anything else before we go?
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know what? I want to thank all of you for your just how amazing you are, and your bravery and your courageousness and your honesty, and that makes such a difference in us being able to clear things, both for yourselves and also for anybody, you know, who's listening to the call who may feel not ready to say something, but it all helps. It all helps to break the silence and to name the things that are keeping us all bound. And thank you very much. And so we'll see you on tomorrow's call. Bye-bye
then. Thank you, Katie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.